Good to see everybody. I'm glad you're here. I know as summer goes on, people kind of come and go, and it's like a revolving door around here. But it's all good, and I love summer. I don't know, something going on with the barometric pressure today. Can you feel it? Anybody? Can I get a testimony here? I can feel something going on with the barometric pressure today. So I think we're calling for a lot of rain this week, so maybe it's moving that direction. I don't know what it is, but anyway. We're here, and it's summer, and it's great. So last week we introduced a new summer series that we're calling Best Summer Ever. And really, I think we have an opportunity every day to make it the best day ever. But if you were with us, you might remember this idea or the concept for this series, and that is that we're not going to take a vacation from God this summer. And I don't know that that's what we normally do, but I think a lot of people do. You know, they just pretty much like, I need a break from God. I'm gonna take off and go this summer. But we instead are looking for and finding God in all of the sights and all the sounds and all the experiences that we have in the summertime. And so, including God in our trips and activities, we are acknowledging how He has provided for us with all of this beauty and with all this grandeur and with all of the splendor that we see, as well as just simply making the sun rise and set every day for us of our existence. And summer is here, and it's an amazing time to grow in our relationship with God. And I think most of what we experience in summer is great, and I enjoy it immensely. And it's actually different for everyone based on the things that they like and the things that they don't like, I'm sure. But having said that, summer is the season of lawnmowers and gardens. I mean, it involves sight. We all see all of the freshly mowed lawns as well as those that aren't mowed very often, and they're often next to each other. And you can see the disparity there. You see people's gardens and often benefit from their produce. You know, we hear the sounds of summer, the combustion, small combustion engines whining throughout our neighborhoods, and we see and we smell the freshly cut grass. It makes me sneeze. I don't know about you, but it's all part of the summer experience. My wife Beverly, and I talk about this all the time. She loves to dig in the dirt. She grew up digging in the dirt. She loves to plant things and watch them grow and cultivate and do all the things that she needs to do. Gives it her attention every day. Back when we had she grew up with a garden. They grew all kinds of things, watermelon, all kinds of stuff that they grew in their garden when she was growing up. And she used to have a garden when we lived in the parsonage back here next to where Donald Davis lives, right behind the church. When Mary Moore lived in that house years ago, and she allowed Beverly to have this little plot next to her house where she could grow all kinds of stuff. And she just loves it. I, on the other hand, do not. I mow the yard. I begrudgingly weed eat as little as possible, and I will not mow more than one time a week, contrary to like my retired neighbor to the one side and my retired neighbor across the cul-de-sac from where we live. But I'm not going to do that. In fact, I'm going to probably stretch it into a week and a half or so if I can. You know, I mean, also it rains, and so that'll push it, you know, one or 4 days down the road as well. I will sometimes, if she asks, I will go dig a hole for Beverly to put some kind of flower in a hole. And that's because I love her and because she's persistent. And so we all have that one neighbor, you know, that one neighbor whose yard is so pristine that it looks like, you know, they made a deal with the devil for the perfect checkerboard lines and stuff that they have, and the consistency of the grass is so nice. And if that's you, we forgive you. I know you think you're a great neighbor because, you know, your lawn looks so perfect, but we don't like it. We don't like it because your commitment to lawn excellence reflects poorly on the rest of us. And so stop it. I'm just kidding. But really, stop it. This summer, when you see lawns and gardens, I want them to remind you of something deeper. And I hope that they'll make you think of what we're going to talk about today, about what Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 4 when he tells the parable of the sower. In Mark 4, verses 3 through 8, Jesus talks about sowing seed and seeing growth. That's really the overall theme of the parable of the sower. And I'm not going to read the scripture directly from the Bible today. I'm just going to sort of tell what he is talking about here. But if you want to turn to Mark 4 and follow along with what's going on, I think that would be a great idea. So Jesus tells this story of a farmer who is scattering seed. Some of the seed in Jesus' story lands on the path. Some of it falls on rocky soil. Some of it's sown among the thorns. And some of the seed falls on what Jesus calls good soil. Jesus likes to use parables when he teaches. He does this a great deal of the time. The vast majority of his teaching is done in parables. And then he will say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what he's saying, if you have ears to hear and you are and you have hearts that will understand, then you will get the gist of what it is that I'm teaching you today. And there are times when the people would find it hard to understand what he was teaching, because they just couldn't make the connection between the metaphor and real life. And often his own disciples were some of those people, right, who didn't get that. Even though he told them in this chapter, he said, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But even they often didn't understand. And so later in the chapter, around verse 14, Jesus explains the parable of the sower to his own disciples. And Jesus goes through the parable, and as he does, he explains, God's word is the seed, and you are the soil. God's word is the seed, and you are the soil. But it's a process. And through this process, there is this challenge. We can't see what's happening in the soil. We can't see underground. And so we can't see what's going on. We can't see what's happening. If you've ever planted anything, you know this. You stick a bulb in the ground, or you spread some grass seed. You deliberately plant seed for fruit or for vegetables or flowers or whatever it is. And then you wait. And I'm not saying you're sitting idle. Many of you know there's still work to be done. In fact, in the first place, before you even planted anything, you prepped the soil, and you dug, or you plowed, or you plugged, or whatever it is that you did. But after it is in the ground, it's kind of a waiting game, because, you know, it's in there. And you can't see what's going on with it. Experience will teach you this, but it's a waiting game. Now, you make sure you irrigate and you water. You can't do anything about the rain, because it's either going to rain or it's not, you know. And you can't really do any much about the sunshine or the temperature. You can't control those things. And so you wait. You wait. Something's happening there in the ground. But because we can't see what's happening, we often get impatient. And growth is invisible for a while, and so we get impatient. We want the harvest. You know, that's what we're looking for. That's why we did all this stuff in the first place. Is we're looking for the harvest. We want to reap the blessing, the benefit of the harvest. We're anxious for the breakthrough. We want to see something coming up out of the dirt. But before fruit comes formation. And that's happening underground where we can't see it. So there's this tension between sowing and harvesting. And we like shortcuts, right? We want the shortcut. We want to see things. We're so used to getting what we want when we want it. We can just pull out our phone and it can be here today if we want it, right? We love fruit. We love picking apples. We love eating strawberries, enjoying the results. But we, at least I don't love digging in the dirt, right? And planting the seeds. All of that process is slow. It's work. It's not necessarily Instagrammable at that point, you know, unless you're April Robertson and you can put it up there, you know, and everybody can see what's going on. She can sort of show you, especially if it's up already, she can start. But that's what's Instagrammable. That's what is picture worthy is the harvest, right? Everybody's ready to see the pictures of the fruit. And spiritually, I think we're the same way. We learn of God and what he has done for us. We learn that through his word. That's where we learn that. Someone shares it with us. Someone teaches us. We receive the word. We are the soil, after all. We receive the word. And I think we become often impatient. If we're not prepared that there's going to be time and that we're waiting on God's timing, we become impatient because we want God to bear some fruit in our lives. We want to see changes in our relationships, in our desires, in our temptation, in our sin. We want to see changes. We're wanting to see that God is bringing change for us or using us in some way that's significant. But the seed is in the ground, and we're just not sure if anything's happening. And I think that's why when we talk about this parable, I think more often than not, we focus on the harvest and we don't talk a whole lot about the sowing. We want things to change, but we don't really want to do all of the hidden work of planting and cultivating and waiting. We like life hacks, you know what I mean? We like shortcuts. I love seeing those reels on social media, you know, that are life hacks. Things that if you had known this, you know, 10 years ago, your life would have been so much easier. It would have just made things so much better for you if you had only known. They'll say something like, I was today years old when I realized this, you know what I mean? And then they'll tell you some life hack that they've discovered, something about packaging and why something's packaged the way it is and how much easier it is to open if you just knew this convenient thing. I mean, I saw one about putting a bag in a trash can and the process for doing that and how we're all kind of trying to shake the bag out and get the bag out and get it down in the trash can. And they had this simple life hack. I can't remember what it was, but they had this simple life hack for them but you know, sometimes those shortcuts are not any better than what we've been going through just to get done what we were trying to do in the first place. But I'll tell you this, I do know there are no life hacks for spiritual transformation. God doesn't microwave spiritual growth. He plants it. He sows that seed, and we want to be able to just come in and over the course of 1 hour on Sunday morning, have our lives changed completely. And everything gets put back together. And we want to start to see the harvest, and we're in a position that God can use us. And we just have these ideas of how it should happen and that it should happen now, but that's not how the harvest works. And it seems like I spend way too much time talking about waiting. And I think it's because I just hate to wait so much. I just hate it. But if you're struggling with waiting for God to make things happen in your life, you are not the first. When we think about Abraham and how Abraham had no children, he and his wife Sarah had no children, and he was 75 years old when God finally came to him and said, I'm going to give you a son. Well, that was great, but a few years passed and a few more years passed and still no son. And so Abraham and Sarah, they try this life hack with a woman named Hagar, and that doesn't work out so well. You know, that it doesn't bring about the result that they were hoping for. And so all in all, after Abraham is told he's going to have a son. It's nearly 25 years before Isaac shows up. And then Moses waited 40 years in the desert tending his father-in-law's sheep before God called on him. And David waited around 15 years after Samuel anointed him to be the next king of Israel. He waited 15 years, most of that time running away from Saul, hiding in caves, staying in towns with pagan nations and trying to stay out of the reach of Saul, who was hunting him and trying to kill him. And it was 15 years before he actually became the king. Joseph spent over a decade in slavery and prison before seeing God's dream that he had given him fulfilled. And we want to do great things. God wants to do great things through us, but we forget that God first needs to do something in us. And we need the sowing and we need the growing before we get the harvest. The seed goes in the ground and it looks like nothing's happening. But just because you can't see it yet doesn't mean that nothing is happening. Something is. I love the promise that Paul makes when he's writing his letter to the church at Philippi, and he's writing this letter while he's waiting himself in prison to die, basically, even though the whole letter is filled with a theme of joy. And he expresses his confidence in the first chapter in the sixth verse of Philippians, and he says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." So if you're tired of waiting, don't quit. God is working beneath the surface. And so again, you are the soil. And as Jesus interprets this parable for his disciples, he said, the seed is the word of God, and we are the soil, and the success of the seed, or the word in each person's life and heart, is dependent on the condition of the soil, or the heart of the one who receives the word of God. The four soils represent four kinds of hearts. And if you recall, the first seed fell along the path. Well, any good path, you know, is going to be packed down by all of the sandals and all of the feet and all of the hooves and all of the wheels and all of the things that have passed by. And it's going to be hard. Any good path is going to be hard. A really good path that's well-traveled is going to be hard. So many things have passed by on it. And it's hard. Therefore, it's hard for the seed to penetrate the soil. It's hard for the word to penetrate the heart that is hard. The path represents a hard heart. The heart that is closed off to receiving the word of God. It's not out of the realm of possibility that someone is here this morning either out of habit or they're at home and you're watching on Instagram and you happened by and you saw our channel and you clicked on it. What's this about? You know, and we talked on Easter Sunday that we could be numb to this whole idea of God and Jesus and sin and salvation, that whole idea and the very notion that you are lost and condemned by sin is offensive to you, and the very notion that someone, especially God, would have to die in order to save you from that sin, that's just unimaginable. Of course, most hard hearts don't know that they're hard. They just think they're okay, which is why they can't see how lost they are. And when they hear the word of God, more or less, it bounces off and it doesn't reach them, because the first step in finding salvation in Jesus is recognizing that you need to be saved. Because the seed, the word of God, when your heart is hard, it never actually enters the soil of the hardened heart. Jesus says Satan will come and take it away. And then Jesus talked about rocky soil. He said some of the seed fell there, rocky ground. That represents really a shallow faith. A shallow faith that you hear the word, you hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus, and you get all excited about it, and you get all emotional about it, and you receive it with joy, but it doesn't last very long. There's nothing wrong with emotion, but when it's all based on emotion, there's no root. And the sun bears down on the little sprout that has come out there among the rocky soil, and it hasn't really taken root, and it gets scorched and it dies. Jesus says, when trouble, when persecution, when criticism from family or adversity comes because of the very word of God, he says, they quickly fall away. And he goes on in his story and telling the disciples about what he was saying. Some of the seed, he said, some of God's word falls among the thorns. And the thorns represent a distracted faith. There's soil there. The seed grows, but so do the thorny weeds grow up alongside of it. And there's some faith there, but when the worries or the cares of life, the deceitfulness and the lure of wealth, the desire and the lure of other things show themselves like thorns, they choke out the little bit of faith. The word of God is crowded out and no fruit comes to bear. You're trying to grow fruit and thorny weeds in the same field and it doesn't go so well. And it doesn't go so well because whatever we passionately pursue, the cares of life, wealth, whatever it is, whatever we passionately pursue is what gets sown in our heart, and that is what comes to the surface. And then finally, Jesus says that some of the seed fell on good ground, good soil. He tells his disciples that the good soil is a ready, receptive heart. The person recognizes their great need for God's word and for God's plan. They understand how lost they are in their own sin without God's Son. They receive the word into the very core of their heart and they nurture it, and their faith is carefully cultivated, and ultimately it bears fruit. Now it takes time. It's not flashy, but Jesus says it will multiply. He said 30, 60, 100 times. And I know some of you get frustrated with this, and maybe you've been talking to a coworker or sharing about Jesus with a classmate or someone, and they're just not receptive. They're indifferent. They don't care about what you're talking about, and it's so frustrating, and you don't see any kind of impact. Or you've been trying to do some things differently in your marriage, and you really feel like you've changed a lot, but your spouse does not seem to recognize it. Or maybe you've changed the way that you've been parenting your kids because it wasn't working so well and your relationship with them seemed to be pretty broken. And so you've made these changes, but at the same time, the relationship itself just doesn't seem to be getting any better with your kids. And so you're praying and you're asking God and you're waiting for that fruit to come, but it doesn't seem like it's coming yet. But I believe, like Paul wrote, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to see it to completion. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get worried or distracted. Don't harden your heart. God is working in you, and he will eventually work through you. So don't go getting ahead of yourself and digging it up just to see what's going on beneath the surface. That's the way the universe is wired. God is the creator of the seed, and he hardwired harvest into the seed. And so when the seed gets planted and the conditions are right and the soil is good, the seed grows. It just does. He's hardwired harvest into the seed. That's how it works. And what's true of the seed-bearing plant is true of the word of God. He made it. He gave life to it. He spoke power into it. And so when the word of God gets planted and the soil is good and the conditions are right, life comes from it. It just does, because God has hardwired harvest into His Word. If it's planted in good soil, it will grow. That's what Jesus is teaching His disciples. And the question is never in the power of the seed. It's God's Word. The seed is the good news. The seed is the gospel. What did Paul say about the gospel in Romans 1:16? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's what? It's the power of God for salvation to all who believe. The question is always, how's your soil? God's planting the seed in your life right now. But what's the soil like? See, God wants to accomplish His work in you so that He can fulfill His purpose through you. Your part in that mission is to prepare the soil to receive and nurture the seed, His Word. And so my challenge for you this week is a simple challenge. If you could just write it down, remember to get up every day and pray a prayer. Whether you get up and pray it first thing in the morning, or you're sitting at work, or you're not in school right now probably. But wherever you might be, to pray this simple prayer. God, what do you want to do in me today? Lord, what do you want to do in me today? And maybe as you go along and the sight and the smell of a freshly mowed lawn reaches you, and the sound of your perfectionist neighbor and his mower could trigger this reminder for you, and you can stop and you can reflect and you can say a prayer. God, what do you want to do in me today? Because whatever you want is what I want. Man planted a small garden in his backyard, just a few vegetables and a few flowers. And every day he would water the soil, and he would pull weeds, and he would, you know, he would check for signs of life. And after the first week, he looked, and he didn't really expect to see anything after the first week, but he looked, and nothing. The second week came, and it went, and he looked, and still nothing. By the third week, though, you know, after doing all the watering and cultivating and all the things that you're supposed to do, he really expected that something would be coming up, and frustration began to set in. I did everything right, he thought. I planted, I watered, I waited, and nothing is happening. Of course, what he couldn't see was that everything was happening under the ground. The seed had split open under the ground. Roots were forming. The foundation was being laid. And if he had given up then and dug it up too early, he would have destroyed what was just starting to grow. And by week four, little green shoots broke up through the soil. And over time, that garden produced exactly the fruit of the seed that he had planted. And sometimes you're sowing in faith, and you're praying, and you're trusting, and you're doing all of the right things, and it looks like nothing's happening. But God is growing something beneath the surface, and he is developing character, and he's developing maturity and trust. In other words, roots that will hold when the fruit finally appears. Just because you can't see the growth doesn't mean it's not there. Don't dig up something that God is still developing. God is planting right now. His Word is alive. It's active in your heart. So don't be discouraged in the waiting. Don't rush the process. Prepare your heart and trust in His timing. Father God, we just pray this prayer that you would prepare our hearts, that you would make our soil good, make us receptive to your Word. And I want you to do in me what you want to do. And I pray that other people will pray that prayer here this morning and trust that you're doing something, even when we can't see it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to understand that even if this morning was the first time you ever heard what God did for you, a seed has been sown. God's word has been planted. And so I ask you, how's your soil? What's the condition of your heart? Is it hard to where God's word can't penetrate? Is it rocky? Are you moved and emotional this morning, but at the same time it's not making a deep connection, and you're not willing to do any of the work to cause it to take root in your heart and life? Is it there, but you also have these competing desires, these competing wants and wishes in your life that compete for the sun, compete for the water, compete for the work that God's trying to do in your heart? And we know whichever thing you feed, that's what's going to surface. Or are you open and receptive? Are you ready to receive God's word? Are you ready to allow it to work? Even if you can't see it working, are you ready to allow it to move you and cause you to let God do in you what he wants to do in you? We're going to sing a song this morning. Whatever it is that you're moved to remember, I just pray that when you hear the lawnmowers and when you smell the grass and when you reap the benefits of someone's harvest from their garden, even if it's your own garden this summer, that you will think of God and that you will think of this story that Jesus told about the sowing and the growing of the seed and the harvest. We're going to stand, we're going to sing a song this morning, and as we stand, I pray that you will take whatever step you need to take closer to Jesus. Let's all stand and let's sing.